awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Working hard. Working hard on the morning.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Welcome to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Been trying to fix the phone system.
Guys, we got started a little late. It's because our phone system's all jacked up.
I think I've mostly got it figured out.
Yeah, you are the man. I'm standing next to a technical genius.
You know when you, like, go into a situation and you're like, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then it's like, psych!
Psych.
I just said psych. It's kind of what's happening.
Yeah.
I thought, it's Wednesday. It's nice. We got here. It's going to be, oh, just kidding.
No.
Phone systems are down.
We got here. We got Doug the intern already hanging out.
Yeah, already kicking it.
Peter
getting
Benson.
Getting ready for birthdays. Alleged. Epic birthday.
Allegedly. We'll see.
Alleged.
He's got a beanie on.
He was pretty excited about it. The streamers were a bit much.
The streamers were.
Especially at
they
6
can't
o'clock in
see
the, morning.
The streamers, Doug.
So, you know, party hats, all that stuff.
You know, I saw on Twitter last night that Doug, the intern's been telling his friends to listen to this show.
Oh, no.
Yep. He's been telling them. He said, I dare you to wake up.
Why
at
would
6.
He do that?
Because he loves it.
Doesn't he know that we're a hipster station, so it's cooler to not have anybody know about us? That's why we're so cool.
Doug, it's cooler for them to not listen to us in the morning.
So that when we go tell people, yeah, we're part of the show, they go, never heard of it. We go, yeah,
yeah
exactly.
And you never will, jerk.
We're so underground, you just...
Hollow.
I guess you just don't get it.
That's why whenever people are like, holla, I'm like, hollow earth.
Yeah.
Because I've been there.
Yeah. Speaking of hollow earth, we're going to be reviewing... In the 8 o'clock hour for Comics Corner, the hardcover Noah. Noah, the film coming out on March 28th, based upon a comic book and not the book of Genesis. Loosely based on the book of Genesis.
The comic was loosely based on Genesis, and
yeah.
I can say that because I have read it.
Yeah, you've read it in its entirety. I got to the John Carter point and then thought, yeah, I'm good.
So, I read that whole thing, and it's not a bad story at all. They fill in, you got to think about it, because in the Bible... you never hear Noah talk until it's time to build the ark or something.
Yeah.
You don't hear him talk.
They got a backstory.
So how are they going to make a movie out of that?
Right.
We want to see biblical epic movies, but then you go back and you're like, well, there's no dialogue here.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch a silent film for 2.5 hours?
And while he silently builds for like years.
Why is he doing that? Nobody knows. He hasn't said anything.
Yeah. So... Wait, I won't spoil it. That's 8 o'clock hour. Noah.
Yeah.
From Image Comics. Darren Aronofsky, who directed the film.
Mm-hmm.
Did he write this?
Yes, he wrote it. There he wrote it, and the art is really, really, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. The art's really good.
Very stylistic.
So we'll talk about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, of course, for Comics Corner. Featuring our dear friend Max.
Who says he's going to show up because if he doesn't, we get to keep his hard copy of Noah. That's right, Max. You're not awake
forever.
Right now, but I hope in your dreams you feel threatened.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. That's coming up a little later. Coming up at 6:45, of course, birthdays.
Barf.
If you would like to get a birthday shout-out in, you can send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. We celebrate birthdays every day and have fun guessing in and all that stuff, but yeah.
We celebrate birthdays every day, and we don't care about it.
Yeah, so 6:45, birthdays with intern Doug. Of course, breaking news right around the corner. It's going to be a good day, right?
Absolutely.
All right. I feel like the days where it starts off and something breaks or something goes awry, it can't get any worse, right? I mean, right?
I hope not.
Prepare me.
Well, because this morning, Dawn got up and had accidentally left something out that she had made, like some food she'd made last night. And it was like, oh, I wonder if Panda... Because I walked in the kitchen and Panda was just sitting by it. She wasn't in it, but she was just sitting beside it. And it was like, oh, But it doesn't look like something she would... She might sniff it, but it's not something she would be like, oh, this looks good.
Man!
Nom, nom, nom.
It smelled so good!
I know. I think it's fine. I totally think it's fine. I don't think
she was
digging around.
Yeah, but my mind hole, there's no way I'll ever eat that granola.
You gotta get over it.
Never.
You gotta get over it. You gotta work past it.
Never.
Anyway, Dawn goes over there to start cleaning it up, and she was trying to scoop it, and it went...
Oh!
Spilled.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope this isn't a harbinger of the day. And she said, well, we don't live, what'd she say? I don't live in a novel, so maybe it's not. And I
maybe
said,
not.
But what if it's a graphic novel?
Well, let's see, though. Here we go. Ah!
Harbinger.
Ha ha! It worked!
Harbinger.
It worked! So the phone lines are working again. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to hang out with us this morning. Yeah. Coming up, you got birthdays. Shout them out. Studio at mystaticradio.com. Of course, breaking news up next. Right now, it's Jars of Clay. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static. I don't have to hear it
if I don't want to. Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Good morning. It's time for breaking news with Doug.
No.
Yes. Nah, it's me. Mateo. Ha! Fooled you, Doug. Did you start to sweat? Yeah, he's sweating.
Just a little.
It's pouring. The NCAA bracket is set, my friend.
It is.
It is set. The time has come. March Madness is upon us.
Did you fill out your bracket?
No.
Oh. Okay. Are you going to?
Maybe.
Come on!
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to... I've never filled one out before.
Mitch filled out a bracket.
That's great. That makes me not want to do it more.
Aww.
Yeah. Things in Ukraine are crazy right now. Russia has come out and said that Ukraine is... Or that Crimea River. Russia has said that they're back.
Yeah.
Crimea's back in Russia. And then the world is like, no. You can't just do that.
Yeah.
Craziness is happening. It's nuts. California's been experiencing a lot of earthquakes lately. Maybe you saw the viral video of the One News team that went, earthquake, whoop, under the deck. That is excellent training from grade school.
For real.
I remember the one time, it was in fourth grade, we had an earthquake drill. Because there's a big fault line that runs through Memphis. And this guy had come out, this geologist, and he was like, there's going to be a major earthquake on this fault line. It's going to be nuts. And we were only an hour and a half from Memphis.
Wow.
So it was like, we'll all be affected greatly. Because, you know, the whole, like,
it hasn't gone off in thousands of years, and now is the time.
Yeah.
The movie premieres next week, you know.
So we did earthquake drills. It was my favorite drill. We had the fire drill. We had tornado drills.
We had tornado drills constantly in Lubbock.
And then we got to have this fantastic earthquake drill. And it was the best because you just get under your desk.
Yeah.
And we had, this was the desk with the four legs and the kind of the table action. So we could get under there and we would just sit there and talk to each other for a few minutes. And it was great. And then it didn't happen.
Right.
And I never got to do an earthquake drill again.
No, I'm sorry.
It was really disappointing.
And then you moved to New Mexico where there's, like, no real drills we need
to do. Is there
a
volcano drill?
No.
What do you do in that case? You can't run outside because then you'll get killed.
Yeah.
You can't stay inside because then you'll get killed. You just pray?
We need to make up a new drill.
Or volcano drill. You just pray.
Let's do, like, extraterrestrial drills.
Alien drill.
Extraterrestrial drills.
California has been experiencing a lot of earthquakes, guys, so we need to come up with our alien drill.
Yep.
So if you have an idea for what that could be, let us know. Doug, keep on it. Remember that New Jersey teenager who was suing her parents for financial support?
I do.
Do you remember? Everybody listening? All three of you? Well, we got an update. She has dropped her lawsuit.
Yes.
Good job. It has happened.
Good job, girl.
Common sense has prevailed. The world is a tiny bit brighter.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Does it say why? She just gave up?
Maybe there's some more info.
All right.
Maybe. Yeah, here we go. The New Jersey teenager who drew international attention when she sued her parents for financial support after leaving home in a dispute dropped the case against them. 18-year-old Rachel Canning filed papers Tuesday to dismiss the lawsuit in New Jersey family court, saying the decision was voluntary. The lawsuit's dismissal ends a public battle between Canning and her parents that raised questions about the obligation of non-divorced parents in New Jersey to continue to financially support adult children after they leave home. Canning returned to her parents' house in Lincoln Park, New Jersey, last week after a four-month estrangement that began when she turned 18, the legal age of adulthood. She had sued her parents, Sean and Elizabeth Canning, for her private high school tuition, living expenses, and access to a college fund, arguing that though she did not reside with them, she was not legally emancipated and therefore was entitled to their financial care. Her parents said they would continue to pay for their daughter's education and expenses if she returned home to complete high school. Or, you know, normalcy.
Right.
That's what we and the rest of the country call it. Normalcy.
There you go.
I'm glad that she threw the lawsuit out, because that situation was crazy. Mm-hmm. And if they would have ruled in favor of the girl, then that could have led to all sorts of legal trouble. You know, like kids, we talked about it, kids suing their parents for an Xbox.
Right.
Jack being like, hey, you guys need to lawyer up because I want that PS4.
Gosh.
And I feel like it's my legal right. I'm a kid. I'm a baby kid.
I'm a baby kid. I got rights.
And then he's like, I will be serving as my own lawyer. Get out of here, Matt Murdock.
He could do it.
He could do it. After a 9-year-old North Carolina boy was the victim of repeated bullying because of his My Little Pony backpack, his school has banned him from wearing it, saying that it causes too much of a distraction. Interesting.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm with the school.
He's a little brony.
I kind of feel like that's a good topic today. Man, are you kidding me? If my kid... Well, never mind. I'm about to go off. Nope.
Don't go off. It's too early in the morning to go off. You need to wait until you've had your coffee.
A My Little Pony backpack?
Dude, are you not a brony? Have you ever heard of the bronies? Have you heard of the bronies?
Of course I've heard of the bronies.
This kid was a brony in training. No, he should have worn a t-shirt that said brony in training. Am I right, Doug? Doug knows.
My son, both of them actually, they have like little animal stuff, animal things, you know? And they wanted to take him to school one time, and I was like, no.
No, absolutely not.
Trust me, bros. I am helping you.
Well, you shouldn't let your kid take all their toys to school anyway, no matter what it is.
No matter what.
That's just smart parenting, because your kid's going to take it to school. It's going to get stolen, broken, or he's going to leave it there.
Absolutely.
He or she. So that's kind of like if it's a distraction, there's lots of things that could be a distraction.
Jack's had this bear since birth. Yeah. Teddy is older than Jack. And so, like, Teddy hangs out at home, and Teddy's had to have surgery a couple times.
Oh, sweet Teddy.
Because of arms falling off or, you know. And so...
I've encountered Teddy.
For multiple reasons.
He's a grumpy old bear.
He is a grumpy old bear.
Grumpy
Gosh,
old bear.
I don't know how long bears live,
because
but
of the surgery.
Like this one's going to live
after
forever.
The hip surgery, he was never the same.
He was never the same.
He can... When it's about to rain, he just gets super grumpy. He's tired.
I feel
tired.
Like, they stuffed him with angry stuffing.
Angry stuffing.
It just... Teddy...
Yeah, and that solid gold plate in there, that's what all the burglars want.
But, I mean, Teddy's been with Jack since, you know, the beginning, so therefore he, you know, wants to hang out with him. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking school's not the place for Teddy.
Well, the thing is, any backpack or piece of clothing or whatever that a school says is a distraction, well, then, don't wear it. But I guess the problem here is that the kid was getting picked on so much.
Yeah.
And instead, is this defending the kid by saying, hey, maybe just get rid of your backpack?
Oh, this could be a good...
It could be a call-in topic. You never know.
We'll probably talk about this.
Good grief.
Because you got to protect your kids. That's why when Jack wanted to take the bear to school, I took him to the movies. We watched this bear movie. It was called Ted. Really helped him.
What?
Just, what, huh?
You... Don't take Jack to see Ted.
I didn't do that.
It's a poop on the floor.
The sad and funny thing is, when that movie, like, trailers were coming on TV, it was like, I want to see that.
Yeah.
Because I have a bear that's my friend. And I'm
the same thing with Family Guy.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Family Guy's a cartoon, and then you watch it, and you're like,
that's a cartoon. That's bad.
This is funny
that
if
is
you're
bad.
Over the age of 16, maybe, 17,
Gosh.
18. Doug, you better never watch Family Guy.
Yeah.
I will protect your purity. Yeah. I will protect you, Doug.
Yep.
Never wear that beanie again. I hate it.
Why? Come on.
I'm protecting him.
No, you're not.
He's going to get picked on by Celeste and Mitch.
I like
that. I'm trying to do what the school's doing. Leave it at home, brony. Following the crisis over Crimea, the U.S. has called for an emergency meeting of the G8 to consider kicking Russia out of the economic supergroup.
Wow.
Kick them out. Kick them out.
Oh, it was like that one time when the Justice League got together because they were like, Plastic Man, what do you think? And they're like, I don't know, dude. What does he do? He's kind of a ripoff of Mr. Fantastic.
Oh.
Yeah, but he's got those really cool Elvis shades. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, cool
and
shades.
He's kind of funny, so he's good to have around because you always want the funny guy. And then the Flash was like, I thought I was the funny guy. And Green Lantern's like, you're not the funny guy. You are the only one that laughs at your jokes. And then Superman's like, can we just stop this and get back to talking about Plastic Man? Because we're trying to decide the future of the Justice
League. Is this New 52 business?
No, this never happened. I'm just making it up as I go.
Good grief. In the wake of a recent massive recall, GM has created a new high-level position, Vice President of Global Vehicle Safety.
Wow.
I'll take the job.
Cool.
I'll take it. I feel
VP
like I could
of
do,
VS.
I could do a pretty good job. GVS.
What's GVS?
Global.
GVS.
Global Vehicle Safety.
Oh, man. Miss, if it's a girl,
yeah,
she'd be Miss GVS.
Oh, no. A class action lawsuit has been filed against the NCAA, accusing it of being an illegal cartel.
Okay.
Yes. I bet you didn't put that in your bracket.
Oh,
boom.
Wow.
Kiss and Def Leppard announced plans for a combined summer tour. And 1978 said, booyah.
Kiss actually has their own football team now.
What?
Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah. They have their own, like, not NFL. Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah. You know, the Malaysian Airlines flight is the longest disappearance in modern aviation history.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, back when I was a kid, I remember reading books about disappearance. You know, like Amelia Earhart. Nobody really, they don't really know what happened to her. But that's not my, this was before we had like all of our technology to track everything.
Right.
You know, before we were all walking homing beacons for the government.
I feel like this mystery just is going to be with us for a long time until somebody figures it out.
Yeah, and I read a theory from a pilot yesterday who said, I think we might be overthinking this whole thing. A friend of mine posted it on Facebook, and they said that it sounded like the most common sense theory. And instead of all this hijacking business or whatever, he said he thought there was probably, because I guess when the plane was taking off, one of the tires had caught on fire.
No way.
And they had reported this. And so this guy thinks that there was just a fire, and they had sealed off the cabin, and they were trying to fix it, but the smoke got to him and killed him. And the reason they had turned left is because the nearest airport was to the left. And he said it all sounded like protocol to him, but what happened was the pilots died, nobody could get in because the cabin was sealed off, and the plane eventually crashed. So he says it's in the Indian Ocean. He says we need to keep looking in the Indian Ocean. But then some other pilots read that, and there was a rebuttal. They were like, yeah, but you're forgetting one thing, man. Every pilot and co-pilot has an oxygen mask. And the first thing you do if there's a fire is you attach your oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Because that's what the guy said. He said the rule was aviate, navigate, and something else. And so in his...
Deviate.
Something like that.
Yes.
They rhymed. And I can't remember them. So obviously they need to do
Wait,
a better
what
job
was
with
it?
The rhyme. It's like aviate, navigate...
Complicate.
And
satiate.
It wasn't procreate. I know that. I know it wasn't that one. Anyway, He said that he left the oxygen mask thing out. He left that out. But these other pilots were like, no.
Yeah.
Something's up because they would have put their masks on.
Right.
That's the first thing they would have done. Because he said that, like, turning the if it was an electric fire, turning off all the electronics would have been one of the first things they did to isolate the cause of the fire.
That makes sense.
So we're still trying to figure it out. It's crazy. It's a crazy mystery.
Yeah.
We need to call Scooby-Doo.
Gosh.
If only he was real. Him and that merry band of teenagers, maybe they'd figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's old man Jenkins. I don't know. Maybe Courtney Love needs to be on the case.
Yes.
Chrissy showed us a hilarious meme thing.
I never even read it.
You are missing out, sir. Coming soon, maybe. And we might talk about this later.
Okay.
I'll just tease it now.
Oh.
Knowledge pills.
Yes.
That you eat to learn anything. What? That's all I'm going to say.
Ah!
Knowledge pills.
All right.
Because we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
we've
my
got a
goodness.
Few great topics for the day.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey.
Hey.
You know I like going to CrossFit.
I know. You love going to CrossFit.
It's fun. I just read a story about an iPhone that gets turned into a weight loss device because it's the world's heaviest iPhone case. The product's called the Tone Phone, and it's a chunky iPhone 5 case that basically transforms your phone into a really light dumbbell.
That's funny. It takes a smartphone and makes it dumb.
It takes a smartphone and makes you a dumb jock. And speaking of dumb jocks, it's time for birthdays with Intern Doug. Hey!
I like that. That was good.
Right?
Yeah?
Is it time?
It's time for birthdays.
I thought it was.
I thought it was, too.
It is time.
Oh!
It is time.
There he is.
Speaking of CrossFit, remember how we went to Hollow Earth? They had us moving all those rocks and pterodactyl legs around?
Yeah.
That was a good exercise.
Those things were heavy. They were at least 7 pounds.
Weirdos.
You're a weirdo. I'm sorry we left you out.
It's okay.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time. Today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. For those of you keeping track at home, today is 78 of 2014, and there are 287 more days left in the year.
It's a 287 calling back on your blah.
What?
Yeah.
Was that a rap song?
It was a rap song.
Interesting.
Never heard it.
Me neither.
Never heard it.
Ooh.
First up this morning, she was in a ton of foreign films that no one's probably ever heard of.
Yeah!
What's New Pussycat? And she played Dr. No in the original James Bond.
I can't even hear you.
We can't
Doug.
Hear your voice because of the music.
I told the live band to turn it down.
Sorry.
The live band.
Dr.
No from the original James Bond.
I don't know this. Do you know?
Ursula Andrews.
Yes.
Whoa! All right, Mr. James Bond knowledge.
Bingo.
I'm just going to say, I may own every James Bond film, and I may be a fan. You're welcome, world.
I hate it.
Come on, that was the very first Bond movie.
Let's see, Ursula, was this before or after she took that little girl's voice and became an octopus? Which one came first?
That's funny.
Yeah,
she's the
funny.
One that comes out of the sea, the white, and she's got the knife at her side. Dr. No, very first Bond film. That was before Q was even a part of it, before he had any gadgets or anything. It was straight up just Walter
she
PPK.
She tried to fool Bond. Prince Eric. She took the form of an attractive young lady, and Prince Eric was fooled because she had stolen that redhead's voice. And I understand she was probably trying to get back at all the gingers for stealing everybody's soul. But
I'm
she
gonna
was
say
able.
Ursula Andrews is 81.
I say she's 344. Mm. She was an ancient evil witch of the sea.
Introducing the new...
Hey. 78.
Oh, I was a little off.
Come on, dude. Some good math right there.
You did real good. Yeah. I feel like for some reason I got her confused with somebody else.
He was in Malcolm in the Middle. He played Stevie, the guy who was in the wheelchair and had really bad asthma.
I have never seen that show.
I only watched a few episodes.
You're not the boss of Steve now.
Craig Lamar Taylor.
I say Craig Lamar Taylor is 34 years old.
36.
25.
Dang.
Okay.
He must have been a little
kid. He was a kid. All right.
He was.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Doug.
Well. Spotify doesn't want to work right now. Okay. So, one-third of the Pointer Sisters.
One-third of the Pointer
Jesse
Sisters.
Jesse Pointer.
Tina Pointer.
Shauna Pointer.
Jeff Pointer, the girl.
Ruth Pointer.
Ruth!
One-third of the Pointer Sisters celebrating a birthday this morning.
Pointer
Man,
Sisters.
I
want
to hear
think?
Some Pointer Sisters
I say 68.
Brant, 68, man. The anyone over 14. Yeah, wow. I'm going to say 65.
She was 68.
Yeah!
Wait, ba, was? Ba, ba, what? Ba, 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 ba,
ba, oh, yeah, 68.
He said was. Ba, 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 ba. It's no time to celebrate. That's sad.
Wait, okay. So did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Captain Confusion over here trying to throw me off.
All right. The second big birthday of the morning, she played in such films as Air Force One, Tarzan, Dangerous Liaisons, Stepford Wives, 102 Dalmatians, and she was in the television show Damages.
Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Oh!
She's gonna, also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
She's going to be in Guardians.
Doug!
She was in 102 Dalmatians.
Yes.
Was there a 101 Dalmatians live action?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
Is there not?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
How old is Glenn Close? She's old.
How old is she today?
Whoa. That was a lot of thinking. You okay?
Yeah. She is.
She is 64 years old.
Man, she is 61.
She is 67 today.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
All right, for the big birthday of the morning.
Yes.
From television show, he made several appearances in Friends.
Okay.
In such movies as The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Bruce Willis.
Sin City. Armageddon.
Bruce Willis.
Yes. Bruce Willis.
Looper, Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis.
Red.
Bruce Willis.
Pulp Fiction.
Bruce Willis.
And my favorite movie of all time, Die Hard.
Yeah! Yeah! Best Christmas movie ever!
Yes. Mr. Bruce Willis.
Mr. Bruce Willis!
I saw Armageddon with him, no bigs.
Man. He was also... Did we say Sixth Sense?
Yes.
Did we say Unbreakable?
No. Oh.
Expendables 2.
Oh, I never saw it. Dude, Unbreakable is still my favorite M. Night movie and one of my favorite movies of all time.
M. Night.
Grindhouse.
Why did you quit making good movies?
G.I. Joe Retaliation. Did not see.
Okay, let's see. Bruce Willis, the man, the myth, the 80s legend.
Yeah, Moonlighting. We didn't mention Moonlighting.
What do you think?
Gosh, I'm going to say 56.
I'm going to say that he's 58.
He is 59 years old today.
Damn!
We are on two dates now.
All right.
On this day in what year... The Citibank of New York became the site of the first bank robbery in United States history. $245,000 was taken. Edward Smith was caught, convicted, and spent 5 years in New York's Sing Sing prison.
Ooh.
Sing Sing!
Sing Sing.
I fought the law and the law won.
Very first bank robbery.
Very first one. In New York City.
Like, first one in America or just first one in New York?
It says in U.S. history.
Right. Wow, okay.
That's got to go way back.
Way back. Like, colony style.
Because, like, pre-Billy the Kid.
Yeah, I say 1758.
I'm going to say... Wait, if it's U.S. history, the United
I don't
States
know.
Wasn't around yet. Okay. I'm going to say 1803.
1831.
Dang. Nice. Well, it took him a while to decide to... He had to get the gumption up.
Yeah.
On this day in what year, Pluto was photographed for the first time, but not recognized as a planet.
Nice. Good on song. The song. Good Doug.
Song. Oh.
Do any of you guys remember this music video?
Yes. This used to come on VH1 every morning before I went to school.
Did you know that Robert Patrick and Richard Patrick are brothers?
No.
So the lead singer Filter's brother was the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
No way.
Boom! Knowledge!
Awake on my airplane. Awake on my airplane. My skin is bare. My skin.
You need a really nice camera for that. So.
Yeah. And Pluto... say 19, okay, and this was before it was named a planet. Maybe 1943?
1958.
1915.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
On this day in what year the U.S. Congress established time zones and approved daylight savings time?
It's the top
of the looting.
When love runs high.
Time zones.
I feel like it was... Benjamin Franklin, I thought. Wasn't it, like, really old?
He just came up with the idea, but he didn't institute it.
That's true. Okay. Still going to say older. 1879.
1942.
1918.
On this day, in what year the Academy Awards ceremony was televised for the first times with proceedings in Hollywood and New York? Ooh. The greatest show on earth was named Best Picture.
I got Mr. Math over here.
Well, I don't remember what year that movie came out. 19...
1953.
Oh, you were right there.
Good grief, sir.
Come on, I'm a mathematician today.
Mathematician.
On this day in what year, in the first televised prize boxing fight shown in color, Joey Durdello knocked out Willie Tony.
Willie Tony.
First televised in color?
That sounds like a boxer's name.
Hey, all right, see, we got the boxers on the left corner. We've got Joey the Tony Money.
Willie Tony, yeah? All yeah, right, see, it's Willie Tony. Put all your money on Willie Tony,
right,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah, see?
We sound like Canadians from South Park.
Yeah, good, yeah, yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How's
about to do it? How's about to do it? Ah, yeah.
Ah! On this day in what year Elvis Presley bought his Graceland estate in Memphis?
Oh, man.
Come on.
Come on, sugar.
Come on, Tupelo.
Hey.
Okay. I know he played. That was in. I can't remember the year he returned to Tupelo, and it was like, ah! The last one was 54. I say 61.
I was going to say, because 54 was Hound Dog. That was your, yeah. Like his first, I think, number one single was 50. So probably wasn't until, what did you say, 61?
Yep.
I'm going to say 59.
57.
Ah! We were close.
We are close.
You did great.
Standing out here yelling rabble, rabble, rabble isn't going to help anything.
Yes, it is.
We don't know what else to do, Mayor. Rabble, rabble, rabble,
rabble. Yes.
On this day in what year, the United States House of Representatives began broadcasting its day-to-day business via the cable television network C-SPAN.
C-SPAN.
1979.
1982. Sun coming up.
Steve-O?
Yeah.
You just said.
Oh, wait, that was the wrong clip. You were correct. Wrong Billy Madison clip this morning. Oh, E5.
This guy over here.
E5 on me.
E5. Oh!
Here's a little coincidence.
Let's hear it.
On this day in what year, Michael Jackson bought a ranch in California and built his own personal zoo and amusement park. He named it Neverland.
Wow, that's weird. So Graceland and Neverland. Same day, different year, huh?
That is crazy. Same day, different year. Neverland. Never, Neverland.
1985.
1986. 1988. Ah! That was the year I went to kindergarten, everybody.
And the last one. On this day in what year, a 34-year-old London man was sentenced to jail for dividing up he and his wife's private property in a divorce settlement. He did it with a chainsaw. He divided up the furniture and the front porch.
I remember hearing about this.
Awesome. 1998. 1994. 1995.
Oh,
man.
Today is Kick Butts Day. Not actual butts, but a day to kick cigarettes.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
But if you want to kick metaphorical butt today, feel free to.
Yes.
Metaphorical butts.
It is also the Swallows' return to San Juan Capistrano today.
Yes.
Like the salmon of Capistrano.
Yep. It's Chocolate Caramel Day, Poultry Day, and Oatmeal Cookie Day.
Oatmeal Cookie Day! I might celebrate with an oatmeal cookie.
Ugh. I'm not going to lie, not my fave.
That sounds fantastic,
Doug! Peanut butter cookies for the win!
Ah,
I love peanut butter
cookies. Who needs them?
With the little fork imprints, you know? Looks like a little Z almost. It's good stuff right there, buddy. Yeah, buddy. It's good stuff, guys.
Yeah, put your money on Willie Tony, yeah?
We got a great show for you today. We are going to help you with your knowledge. The discovery of a lifetime. Knowledge pills. What does it mean for you? I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Oh, good grief.
We got a lot to talk about
today. A lot.
Today.
These knowledge pills are fantastic science.
Yeah, we're also going to talk about My Little Bronies.
Oh.
How to protect your children from getting beat up.
Yep, and coming up in Comics Corner, we got a full review of the Noah graphic novel.
Yes.
As well as some more great comics that came out this week. And our buddy Max, he's going to come in.
Allegedly. Comics Corner, of course, at 9 o'clock, we got Shock Therapy Live with our dear friend, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Don't go anywhere. Tom and Tom on the way. This is Team Awesome Morning Party.
It doesn't matter!
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Good morning.
Hey.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O Mateo with you.
Hey.
Happy hump day. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Whatever you want to call it.
Wednesday.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, our dear friend Maximilian from Astro Zombies. He'll be hanging out with us, talking shop.
Yeah.
Comic books, that is.
Comic book shop.
Comics Corner, of course. We got a lot to get to today. The hardcover graphic novel Noah releases today. Of course, the comic form of, well, I don't want to say of the film coming out, but basically Darren Aronofsky, the director of said Noah film coming out, wrote a comic book first. And this is the comic book that is what the movie is based upon. We read it. Well, you read it in its entirety.
I did.
I read it. I read a good chunk. But, yeah, so we'll be doing that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, 9 o'clock, Shock Therapy Live with our dear friend, Nate Heitzig. He's a pastor.
He is.
And we're taking your questions. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're dealing with something. Something you have a hard time talking about. You can email us anonymously. That way we can cover it. And, yeah, you get some answers. You don't have to, quote, unquote, out yourself.
Because
I know it's tough when talking about things like that. Me and Nate were talking last week about Shock Therapy Live v. Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
Like who gets more phone calls type
thing.
And I feel like it's much easier just to ask a general theology question about something biblical than it is to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. So,
I agree. I think people are a little less prone to open up.
So kudos to everybody who does email in or call in for Shock Therapy Live. It is a very intimate show. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. You can get your questions in now. studio@mystaticradio.com.
Speaking of questions, we got an email asking if when we encountered that bear back in the fall, did we notice a funny smell in the air? Do you remember a smell?
Is this a trick question?
Probably. I don't remember anything like that.
We got an email?
Yeah. And it's from, he says, forgive my grammar, this is a speak-to-write software.
Oh, nice.
So he's talking to it.
He called us locos.
Hey, locos.
Yeah.
Crazies.
Yeah. Good job.
We're crazy.
We're the crazies.
I'm crazy.
If you would like to ask us a random question, studio@mystaticradio.com, did we notice a funny smell in the air?
I don't remember noticing one.
I didn't notice anything. I froze. Literally, time froze. Yep. I did not move.
Nobody pooped their pants, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
Just caught up. I got it.
I don't know if that's what he's even talking about. Maybe he's talking about there was some kind of pheromone in the air, and the bear was like, what's this?
Maybe it was honey. Hey, boo-boo.
I don't know. Right now, we're going to talk about, well, I guess something that was introduced at a TED Talk yesterday.
Ooh, okay.
Nicholas Negroponte.
Ooh.
Founder of the MIT Media Lab appeared on stage in Vancouver at TED's 30th anniversary event last night and made a number of predictions about what technology will do over the next 30 years.
Wow.
Here's his most startling one. We teased it last hour.
Yeah.
In 30 years, Negroponte said, we're going to be able to literally ingest information. Once information is in your bloodstream, some kind of mechanism could deposit the info in your brain. You could take a pill and learn English or the works of Shakespeare. He said little else on the subject, but Negroponte assured the audience that the idea is not as ridiculous as it seems. He's basically hypothesizing a pill you can swallow to instantly learn French, or computer programming, or anything else. Something akin to the moment in The Matrix when Neo learns Kung Fu by interfacing his brain with a computer.
That reminds me, did you ever see that movie Limitless?
Yes. Yeah.
I own it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, he took those pills and then he
Joey bought it for me for my birthday and was like, dude, you gotta see this. That was like two birthdays ago.
It's a good movie.
Still sitting on my shelf.
Oh, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Doing it right.
Man, knowledge pills.
Knowledge pills.
Would you want to ingest knowledge pills?
I think so. Well, it says that his prediction has more basis in reality than you likely expect. Scientists can already watch memory-forming molecules come together in the brain as a physical representation of new knowledge. Negroponte is merely talking about doing it without the human being consciously involved. Many smart people have made reasonable links between quantum physics and theories of consciousness that suggest the weird quantum principles like entanglement can help explain how we learn and remember things.
Huh.
Whew, I don't know. His hypothetical knowledge pills would only need to be an expression of applied quantum physics. And we all know that's just cake.
I mean, come on. Speaking of that, we'll be talking about that during Comics Corner.
Yeah, New Avengers.
New Avengers with their, you know, run-of-the-mill basic good guy, bad guy ideas.
Yeah. If you got your degree in graphic design or quantum physics, then listen in. Because we need you.
Static.
Hey, what up, locos?
What up?
And I wasn't being sarcastic. They say when you are encountering a bear that you can smell them because they're really pungent.
Yeah. Okay. We were kind of far away. I don't remember smelling anything crazy.
I didn't smell crazy. Yeah. No, we didn't even notice him honestly until we like walked up on him.
You know what? Kudos, I'm proud of you guys. Nobody peed or had a mouth movement or nothing. That's dope, man.
Well,
for real.
I said we didn't.
We have a lot of mountain lions and bears coming through town. So,
yeah.
The worst. You
know. Mountain lion. Now, mountain lion might be a different situation.
Mountain lion, completely different situation. One of my great fears.
Because the bear was kind of lumbering around. And
right.
I understand. When that thing started running, it was running.
Yeah.
So, but we, at that point, had backed up a little bit. So
yeah.
It was kind of far away.
And he was going the other way because our booming voices scared him.
Yeah. Now, we did. We walked
really
right up on that thing.
Yeah.
We were probably, I don't know, 10 yards away from it, 15 yards at the most. It was right there.
Gosh.
So it was like, if it wanted to kill us, it probably could have.
Oh, yeah.
But a mountain lion would be a completely different situation.
Absolutely.
I have a common house cat, and that thing stalks me.
Yeah.
You know?
Truth.
Mountain lion would have been like, oh, we're dead.
Yep.
Dead meat. Dead
pretty
meat, just animal kingdom.
I have one more thing on the whole the pill thing.
Yeah.
Didn't the government try that in the 60s with LSD?
Oh.
That's a good point, because I think they did.
Fringe science.
And I'm not being sarcastic again.
No, I know.
I read a lot on that. So.
I think you're right.
A young man doing a lot of crazy things, so that's my little...
Woo!
Man. But that's it, guys. Love you guys. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, man.
Good luck with that text-to-talk software or whatever.
I know, that's crazy
stuff. Talk-to-text.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Some new technologies. Just talked about the knowledge pill. Dougie Doug, our intern, handed me this one.
Swifty Swift.
How about this one? This was in the Wall Street Journal last week. A retinal chip that allows you to see in the dark.
What?
Yeah. Or basically this implant that allows you to hear any conversation in a noisy restaurant no matter how loud.
Oh, spying.
Or a memory chip wired directly into your brain's hippocampus that gives you perfect recall of everything you read. Or how about this? An implanted interface with the internet that automatically translates a clearly articulated silent thought into an online search that digests the relevant Wikipedia page and projects a summary directly into your brain.
Whoa.
Yeah, these are brain implants. This is where laser eye surgery was several decades ago, and apparently this is where they are at with this technology now. They are not risk-free and make sense for only a narrowly defined set of patients, but they're a sign of things to come.
Interesting.
Yeah, Glenn Beck invited Marcus, a professor of psychology at NYU, on his television program Tuesday to further discuss the topic. So Glenn Beck was saying that it's crucial that Americans discuss the ethics of rapidly developing technology before it's actually created.
Agree.
Because we have to make sure we're ready for all the chaos that could come from it.
Yeah, totally. If you're just throwing out knowledge pills and things that can allow you to see in the dark and hear every conversation, all you need is one guy that's like, I need more money.
Well, if you can hack a computer, could you hack a person?
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, boom!
Could you hack a person?
I'm just saying,
and
if you're implanting your brain,
Yeah, because now with the recent disappearance of that airplane and all the crazy theories that are coming out, one of the theories is that it was cell phone hacked.
Yeah.
And somebody controlled. And I don't know. That could be way off base.
Yeah.
Way off grid, if you will. Terrible joke. But the thing about hacking a human, that's a crazy question, because if the more robotics we get in there, the more prone we could be to viruses, computer viruses.
Absolutely. And imagine like the potential interference as well. You know, when your cell phone, when I'm about to get a text, I can hear it in my headphones.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm about to get one. So there's interference there. Imagine the headache of going through airport security with a brain implant. Gosh, they say it might be 20 to 40 years before they can really do a brain implant. However, they're working on it, and it's already on the horizon.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Google's director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, believes the market will drive prices down and everyone will be able to afford the new technology. Marcus said there's certainly room for pessimistic scenarios. Glenn Beck was saying equity, security, who would be able to get these things? You know,
that's what I'm saying.
The rich.
You just need somebody that's a little bent on power and money, and then they're a super villain. Because I know that sounds stupid, but if you had all the knowledge, like if you could just download knowledge, you can see in the dark, you can hear things. You basically got powers.
You're a superhero.
Yeah, and all it takes is a little bit of selfish ambition to become a super villain.
Yeah.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's what happens. Thank you, Harvey Dent. I believe in Doug.
Question of the day. We'll post it. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Brain implants, knowledge pills. Would you want them? What knowledge would you want to soak up? Gosh. I don't know. Pass for me for now.
Pass for now.
Pass. Pass. It's okay. I'm okay being dumb. Man. Some thrice for you now. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, friends.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
We're sending you our greetings out here in Radio Land.
Steam Awesome Morning Party, Steve-O Mateo.
Good morning.
Posted a question on our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Yesterday for the, anniversary of TED?
Yep.
Talks?
Yeah, the 30th anniversary.
It's crazy because I swear he got popular like this last year with that bear. I had never even heard of TED before that. Some scientists think we're going to be able to literally ingest information soon. Once information is in your bloodstream, some kind of mechanism would deposit the information in the brain. You could learn English, the works of Shakespeare, French. I don't know. So we wanted to know your take on that. Science, is it crazy? Is it getting too much? Or would you want to ingest a knowledge pill that maybe allows you to understand the Word of God?
Ooh.
I wouldn't necessarily put it that way. Maybe you could have the Bible downloaded
into
your
have
brain.
It, you would know every. You would be able to reference it, but that, like you said a while ago, there'd still be a head-to-heart issue.
Knowledge puffs up sometimes. You know what I mean? Just having knowledge doesn't equate to adequately using it or understanding it or
Very true.
I don't know.
I was in college, we on our leadership team at the ministry, we had to learn a ton of Bible verses. That was like we had a verse every week that we tried to memorize. And Dave and I memorized all of them. And I don't think it did anything short of just memorizing. There are a couple of verses now. If somebody starts saying, like a couple of them from that list, if somebody says a word, then it'll go, and I'll remember it. But you're right. Like, you can have all of that knowledge and just be puffed up.
Right.
And not. And by puffed up, I mean you just have the knowledge and it's not, like, doing anything for you. You're just like, yeah, I can recall Jonah 3:9.
So the question is, would you want to take a knowledge pill? 505-338-3700 or question of the day on Facebook, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Static!
Flippity-floppity, this is a grumpy old geezer!
What?
Gosh.
In my day, we had no knowledge, we had no memory pills. If we wanted to get more knowledge, we hit each other over the head with the knowledge stick.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the way you want it, Stevie?
Yeah, Stevie.
You too, Potato.
Potato?
Whatever your name is.
It's Potato. Potato.
Shut up with the knowledge, did you look at us? Look at us now. Oh, my. Look at me. I'm like the guy who do my time with the knowledge stick.
I know.
Grits and gravy. That's what we used to say when we get mad. Grits and gravy.
I wish I could take a knowledge pill to understand what it is you're saying.
That's the way it was, Potato. Or whatever your name is.
It's actually, it's Tyrannosaurus Rex. You're way off.
Yeah, way off.
Okay, gotta go now.
All right, later, grumpy old man. What a grumpy old man.
That was a grumpy dude.
Oh, Static.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's that movie with that one guy with the pill?
Oh, yeah, that one, Limitless.
That movie, that
That's
was
hilarious.
Good. Hey, and it ended well, right?
I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
I think it ended well, but through the story, it was like pretty chaotic. But I think at the end, he conquered it, and you got to see that movie.
Okay.
How could you talk about this, Steve, and you haven't even seen the movie?
I know. I'm sorry.
Well,
you have no knowledge.
Oh, if only I had eaten the pill.
Oh, so.
Hey, that was weird. Okay, guys, I love you.
Right.
I know kung fu.
Love that guy.
David on Facebook says, "Isn't this basically the story behind Gattaca, minus the engineered at birth part, and more of the everyone is superhuman, so the normal people are subpar?"
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah, and wasn't it the rich people who?
That's
like,
the big question too. You brought it up earlier. How much is this going to cost, and who are the people
who's gaining the knowledge?
Like, will it just be the super rich that get this, and then they get more powerful?
Everyone else will live in Zion underground,
and then the Illuminati will get even more powerful.
Static.
Hey, that movie did not end well. It's a cliffhanger. You don't know if he's on the pills or not.
Oh.
Sorry, I just had to clear that up.
No, okay. I when he said it ended well, I think I had like this, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I remember thinking, I don't know if it ended well. I can't
it's like
remember.
It's like Inception, like you don't know if it's actually his kids or just a dream.
Okay.
There you go.
Maybe if the writer had just taken a pill.
Speaking of Inception, is that what's going to happen when people start getting brain implants? And then they get a bad one and there's a virus in it and they've been incepted?
Oh.
Very well could be.
There you go. Thanks for the call.
There you go.
All right. That guy.
That guy.
That guy right there.
Oh, that guy calling in. Thanks.
I'm telling you, it could be that we end up Matrix style living underground. Hollow Earth, anyone?
Yeah, me and Doug, we know.
Maybe what happened is, back in the second century, they had knowledge pills, and the rich got them, and the poor went and lived in Hollow Earth, so really we are the descendants of the rich pill eaters.
The rich pill eaters.
Yes.
Neato.
They were the pillars of the community. Oh, snap.
I feel
the
like.
The pillars of the community. That's what they called the people that ate the pills.
If you take the Greek back.
The pillars.
If you trace it back to its Mesopotamian origin.
I feel like I've just ingested the pill because I know so much more now.
In the Sumerian tablets, when it talks about the Anunnaki,
it
references a pill. And there are old Egyptian hieroglyphs of people taking pills. Now, the funny thing about these Egyptian hieroglyphs is that they're in Egypt, and they're in South America, and they're in Australia, and they're in Canada. Nobody knows why they're in Canada.
Right.
And they're in Russia and other places. That's why Russia is taking back Crimea, because that's where they're located. They're in Crimea.
Yeah.
Crimea.
Gosh. I'm just saying. Question of the day, we posted at facebook.com/mystaticradio. Allegedly, knowledge pills, brain implants, they're going to help us be rapidly smarter. Would you really want to ingest something that would allegedly make you smarter? I don't know.
I think it would give you a bunch of, you know, it's just like reading a ton of books, except it's faster. But the question is...
Except it's instantaneous and you wouldn't have to waste your time.
Well, I wonder if it would really stick with you.
Or is it like when you ingest something? Because sometimes when you eat something, it comes back. Like an hour later, you're like, whoa, tacos!
What if it didn't agree with you?
Yeah.
What if your tummy was like, not the knowledge for me?
Yeah.
Didn't want to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably take some math pills because I feel like it would help me be a better budgeter.
Got this, buddy.
I got it. I'm going to make a budget and I'm going to be cool.
Yeah, you'll be successful. I think you can do it.
Successful budgeting.
Static.
Bueno morning.
Good morning.
So isn't this kind of similar to like Eve in the garden and like the apple?
Right. Tree of knowledge.
Dude, it was forbidden fruit, not forbidden pill. This is completely different.
Well, like, same concept, you know, different song and dance, yeah. But really the same thing. I mean, isn't it just kind of like not good? I mean, it's no different than, for example, like a kid with a magnifying glass or the kid with a stick, which is going to potentially do more damage.
I don't know, because...
Depends. Like, I could get pretty creative with the stick.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I mean, knowledge is great, but for knowledge is nothing more but power.
Right.
And power. So, like, just because somebody, I feel like I'm going to quote some type of superhero movie, but, like,
that's fine.
With great responsibility comes great power or something like that, or no, power responsibility.
With great
power, screwed that up altogether.
Yeah, great,
but seriously,
yeah,
just because, totally. I mean, like, look at all the people who are helping run the country.
Yeah.
Whether they're good people or not, it's an entirely different story, and they're the ones who basically control our lives.
That's the thing. If somebody had so much, like, no matter how much knowledge you have, it's going to come down to what you do with it and what your intention with it is. That's why I think it's kind of a dicey
issue. If they make it accessible, and that's just not bueno.
It's true.
That's just me.
Hey, that's in the Book of Luke, by the way, not just Spider-Man. Because to whom much is given, much is required.
Ooh.
That's from the book of Luke. So, biblical.
Wait, I have a question.
What are you going to do with said knowledge?
I have a question before you go. Now, who is more dangerous, the kid with the stick or the magnifying glass kid?
I feel like it's the magnifying glass kid.
What's he going to do?
He's going to burn everybody?
Is he going to womp somebody over the head with it?
I don't know.
Because I feel like if he's trying to...
He could start fire.
And while he's waiting to start fire, the kid with the stick's going to hit him over the head with the stick.
Well, who's going to start the fire faster? Because the kid with the stick could just rub it. I saw those things where
I'll tell you who wins
it,
this.
It starts a fire.
The kid with the lighter is the kid that's going to win this situation.
So there's going to be just like a third kid with a lighter who's going to walk up and be like, you're both stupid.
Yeah. See?
True.
Knowledge. Technology. That's why it's called.
It's evil!
Technology.
Technology.
Okay, you can take a bye.
He's like, I got to get out of here.
He's like, I'm getting dumber by the second.
We're going
to
keep you on the phone.
Coming back. Comics Corner. Our dear friend Maximilian.
Might or might not be here.
Might or might not be here. Yeah. We shall see.
Shall see.
In the meantime, enjoy some jams from Arcade Fire, the Vespers, and we'll talk a little bit about this 9-year-old making waves in North Carolina.
Ooh.
He was the victim of bullying, and the way that the school handled it, a little interesting. We might talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour along with our dear Comics Corner.
Oh, Comics Corner.
Come on, Max!
Come on, Max. We hope you get here. We're going to keep you Noah hardcover till you do.
That's right. Sins, Arcade Fire, it's on the way. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough. We're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man. Bingo.
Static Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. It's your traffic report. Right here on Static Radio. We have a couple of things to report, actually. It looks like there's an accident at, I think it says I-40 eastbound and 4th. I don't know what that means. We got handed a note from our
Rio Grande?
Here. Rio Grande. Paseo 4th and I-25 and Osuna and Candelaria. I also want to tell you about a little police activity at 2nd Street and Candelaria.
Candelaria,
as well as an accident at I-40 east at 2nd Street, exit 159. And then it looks like traffic is very, very backed up eastbound on Paseo right before you get to the construction at I-25. Doesn't look like there's any more construction in Rio Rancho to report, but this traffic on Paseo is slow. You're going to be going about 15 miles an hour.
Slow jams!
Slow jams, yeah. You guys look out for those accidents. If there's something out there that you see and you need to call in
like
and tell us.
Like a fire?
Yeah, we're smelling smoke. It's definitely not the heater. And Mitch was telling us that on her way in, it was very smoky.
Yeah.
So all you cigarette smokers out there, you put them out.
Well, isn't it kicking butt day?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Kick butt day. Yeah, kick butt day.
Kick the metaphorical butt and the literal butt of your cigarette.
That's exactly what it is today.
That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. No better way to kick it than with a nice cup of coffee.
Oh.
All right?
Oh.
Sopo 338-3669, the phone number.
Not to mention the fact that cigarettes are probably making you so po.
Nicely done.
Oh, yeah.
We got sad news this morning that our dear friend Max from Astro Zombies will not be able to make it.
He's always here in spirit, but not usually in physical presence because of
Max!
Sleep.
Max!
He's got to sleep, he says.
Ugh.
He lives pretty... I think he lives on the other side of the city, so when he wakes up late, it's just kind of a crapshoot.
So for those that are bummed because we don't cover enough DC, he usually is our go-to DC guy.
He's our DC guy.
And so if he's not here, less DC books are covered. However, I did purchase one this week, so...
He did, and he's gotten my wife, Dawn... Just, yeah. She's all about Aquaman and Justice League now.
Should we hit the music and
Let's
get into
it.
This?
That's
all right, it's time.
Oh, nerds.
To the Idiot Mobile.
Hey, Thomas, would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? It's spooky outside. Is it because of this balloon?
Comics Corner!
Just do it, nerd.
Let's do it.
Yep.
I was singing a balloon song.
Yeah, you were. Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies. 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. On the corner of Central and Richmond. AstroZombies.com. For more information. It is a big week. We have a lot of comic books to get to. Big reviews. We've been talking about this. We posted a photo yesterday, in fact.
Oh.
About a giant hardcover that releases today, a graphic novel, and for those that are curious about the Noah film...
Noah!
This is really a first look at what potentially could be expected from the movie.
Look at this mighty thing.
Yeah, from Image Comics, who does such books as The Walking Dead, Invincible, Darren Aronofsky, the director of Noah, the film, actually created this graphic novel before the movie... but couldn't necessarily get distribution. Finally got it, just in time for the movie. Imagine that. So, had a chance to go through. First of all, the art is incredible.
Yeah, beautiful art. Beautiful art. Now, here's where we're going to get into it. I read the thing, you read most of it.
Yeah.
This is definitely a deviation from the biblical account.
Yeah, I would say so. I got to one part and realized, oh, cool, so this is like John Carter Star Wars.
Yeah, it kind of gets into, it definitely takes liberties. There is artistic license all over it. But I will say this. The representation of God is biblically accurate.
Yeah.
Like the way his justice and his grace.
Yeah.
And as far as his interaction with Noah, now there are a couple of things where... like one character is like, he doesn't speak to me anymore, you know, and then you have the Nephilim are in this. If you're into all the Nephilim stuff.
I immediately thought of TJ who calls in and asks questions on Theology Thursday about the Nephilim and all that. If you are interested in Genesis chapter 6, I'm telling you, it goes into the Nephilim.
Yeah, it does.
That's where it turned John Carter for me. I'm like, oh, right. Six arms. Cool.
In fact, the Nephilim actually, and you know, I'm not going to try to be all spoilery.
Right.
I do want to outline some of the differences because I know that there's a lot of listeners that are like, well, what is different about it?
Right. It does use scripture.
It does use scripture.
There are times where it was word for word.
Noah retells the creation account.
Yeah.
To his kids at one point, and he says, and the first day. And I will say this, it's funny because he's saying, and the first day, but then like in the pictures, it looks like they're kind of combined. It looks like if Beenix was here,
yeah.
Beenix would describe Noah as a theistic evolutionist, because, and that's Theology Thursday for you. So right now we're having this weird Theology Thursday Comics Corner combo right now. But the... because in the pictures, Noah is describing the days, but it shows, like, the picture of mankind. It's, like, monkey, bigger monkey, da-da-da, and
right.
Then he's walking. And it shows the dinosaurs in the panel above that. So that's, if you want, like, a kind of a quick summation of the book, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a biblical story looked at through a modern non-believer lens.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of liberties taken. There are characters in this... I didn't go read the biblical account. I should have read the biblical account and then read the book, because then I could have been like, boom, 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 boom. But there are so many liberties. The Nephilim help Noah and his family make the ark.
Okay.
That's something.
Yeah.
That is not in there.
Right.
Because
they're the mighty men of renown from Genesis 6,
right.
I think 6-5.
Right.
Yeah.
A character sneaks on the ark.
Oh.
That's not in the account.
Right.
Animals on the ark die.
Okay.
As far as we know, we don't know
right.
about that. The cool thing is, when we were put in the garden by the Lord, our big task was to take care of this planet.
Right.
And so we were talking about yesterday, we see where a lot of people were like, it's all about environmental, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you got to remember, back then, what was our big job?
Yeah, and they make it very clear. It's not like, that guy's not a vegetarian,
right.
so he's not. No, no, no. It's very much they're brutes. They are evil. The men were evil. They were killing each other. They were killing animals, not just for sport, but just leaving the bodies there.
Yeah.
So there was a difference between like a hunter who would gather for his family and use the hide and use the meat and use the... they were just spoiling it and letting everything go to rot.
It's very much... He's showing how humans are wasting
right.
creation. They're not using it for its proper use. He even said, like, there's a point where the bad guy kills an animal, or a group of the bad guys kill an animal, and they just leave it sitting there, and Noah says, look, they take the most worthless part. They take the horn, but they leave all the meat and the skin. They don't use it. He's like, the horn is essentially the same thing as our fingernails and our hair.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, and they're just, that's what they want. They're killing it for sport and taking the horn to show how awesome they are.
It was an interesting read. Like I said, I didn't get all the way through it. I felt like I got enough. And honestly, the reason I didn't want to finish it was mostly to not spoil the film.
Yeah, and that because I was reading, and then a Noah preview came on, and I was like, oh, that's the scene I just read.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be pretty close
and
to,
me and
this.
Me and the boys went through Genesis recently, and so because of that, it was pretty fresh in my mind, the biblical account of Noah, and it takes liberties, definitely, but it was exactly what I was expecting. I was not expecting the action Bible like you can get at Parchments,
right.
where it's, you know, the biblical account of Noah. I was expecting a comic book with liberties.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely there. It seems more sci-fi, honestly.
It does.
Meets,
John Carter is kind of a accurate description.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, short of Kirk Cameron making the movie, I don't think you're going to get like a literal biblical interpretation. And even if he did make it, he would have to fill in gaps to make it a movie.
Right.
We got to remember that when you're making a movie based on a biblical epic from the Old Testament,
right.
we're covering, you know, like, especially if they wanted to make like the Exodus, you're going to be covering 40 years.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, it's like boom, 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 chapter, verse, chapter, verse, chapter, verse.
Yeah.
But if you made that into a movie,
you're
going to be filling in gaps with dialogue and character development and all that, because that's what a movie is. It's a, you know, a story, a storytelling thing.
Yeah. Well, I immediately thought of The Passion of the Christ, which obviously was a lot more, close. It was closer, if you will, to scripture. But even there were the liberties, the moment where, you know, Jesus is falling and Mary sees the child falling to give you more of a personality that this dude is 100% a human being as well. And his mother sees him as the child that she birthed, you know.
Or one of the most chilling scenes when Jesus is carrying the cross and he looks over and he sees the devil figure walking in the crowd watching him.
That's not necessarily like, oh, well, that was in Matthew 23 verse, you know, but obviously The Passion of the Christ was closer, if you
and
will,
it was
in
Catholic
but,
too, because it's the Stations of the Cross,
right?
You know, and in the Protestant side of, on the Protestant side of things, we don't necessarily focus on some of that stuff.
Now in Noah, I got about halfway through. I didn't read it in its entirety. You did. Was there any language in the comic?
Yeah, there weren't any crazy...
Okay.
There wasn't like an F-bomb or anything.
Right, yeah. I was looking for it, and I didn't see a single one, but I do know that Rick Warren, anyways, from Saddleback Church, had made a comment that the film is going to showcase Tasty F-word, and so he's passing. You know, he's not going to be doing
that. If it is in there, and I missed it, maybe the enemy said it.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't remember reading that. I will say this. Jack was sitting by me at one point, and he looked over, and he's like, man, that's violent. He looked at one panel, and it was like an animal getting stabbed. And I said, maybe you shouldn't read this. And then I had to battle Jack all night because he kept trying to look at it. I was like, Jack, I see you trying to read it. I told you not to read it. It's not for kids.
Yeah.
So take that into account. If you want to buy a comic for your kid, don't buy Noah. But it is very well written, and this is from a comic book.
It's rated
book.
M. This it is rated M.
Yeah, this is a comic book standpoint. So don't call me offended that I was defending this heretical document, okay?
Yeah.
I'm speaking from a comic book perspective. It's very well written. The art is awesome,
yeah.
And it's a good story.
I was going to say, the storytelling is really well done. The art is beautiful. This hardback edition is glorious, but you're right. Definitely, if you're looking for the biblical account, as it says in the beginning of the film, for the biblical account of Noah, check out the book of Genesis.
There you go.
Because that's what you're going to want. Or maybe the Action Bible, which the funny thing is the Action Bible for Noah, I believe, is like 3 pages. You know, this is a couple hundred.
Yeah.
So that again, filling in gaps.
This is a big book.
Yeah.
So that's my review of it. Comic book worthy, like comic book style. I'd give it, like, I recommend it. Not to kids, of course.
Yeah.
But to adults that, you know, read comics or whatever. The art, I'm telling you, the art in it is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. So there it is. It didn't deter me from wanting to see the film.
No.
I already knew ahead of time that Noah isn't going to be like Son of God, mm-hmm. or like the Passion of the Christ. I understand that it's going to be loosely based,
yeah,
on Genesis.
Artistic
so.
License has been taken. And in this, there are things that people are going to be like, no!
Right.
No!
But on the flip side, as you said,
Noah.
God is merciful.
Yeah.
He's a God. He's a God of justice.
He's there.
He is. Yes. He's the, and so he's very prevalent in the story of Noah in this comic book.
Yeah. And he's so, not. They're not like drawing him. So it's not, yeah, like he's an old man. Methuselah's in it.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. There's some really cool things in there. There's a moment. Yeah. I don't want to ruin certain things. But there were some great moments in there. I was like, that was very cool. I'm glad they included that.
Yeah.
There is scripture within the comic book. But again, it's loosely based. It is Darren Aronofsky's take on the Noah account. So
there's a beautiful quote in there where I think Methuselah is speaking to maybe Noah's wife or something. So there you go. We're in a scene where Methuselah is talking to Noah's wife.
Right.
If that's how you want to know how much liberty is taken, there.
Right.
But he said, she's like, I don't know, because everybody's kind of wondering about Noah, and that's a fantastic thing, because you really see how much of an outsider he had to become,
right,
for this to happen. Now, short of like Evan Almighty, you know, which is another loose interpretation,
right,
of the Noah account, but it was Steve Carell in it, so everybody thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Or at least I
if
did.
If you saw it, I never saw it.
Oh, it's so funny. Anyway, okay. Yeah, so Noah, he's become such an outsider because he's doing this thing and people don't understand.
Right.
And his family is struggling with the fact, especially one of his sons is struggling hard with the fact that they're about to get on this boat and everyone else in the world is going to die.
Right.
And they're all looking at Noah like, dude, you're kind of a murderer. You are murdering everyone.
Right.
And he can't explain it. He's having all these visions and he's like, I have to do this. You don't understand. I have to do this.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool representation of what it can be like to be a believer in this world, especially,
yeah,
in other countries where people are actually getting killed for their faith, not so much in America where we're just getting killed on Facebook.
Right.
But anyway, Methuselah is talking to Noah's wife, and he says the creator, and they call God the creator. The whole book, his name is the creator.
Right.
And they say the creator, he reaches out to us with two hands. And in one hand is his justice. And in one hand is his grace. And in this situation, we don't know which one it's going to be. We have to wait and see
and trust
which he's going to give us.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's life. That is real life with God.
Yeah.
We just have to trust in the grace provided through Christ, that he has our best interests at heart. But there are those times where we question and, mm-hmm, we doubt, and you don't know what's going on. You think you've been doing everything right, and then somebody dies, somebody gets, you know, diagnosed with a terminal illness, your bank account, like your identity gets,
yeah,
stolen, or you get robbed. Some tragedy happens, and you don't know which proverbial hand God is dealing out your way. But in Christ, we can have faith that it's for our betterment. You know, and that's kind of like this whole conflict. You really see how Noah, he's struggling with,
yeah,
this, and he is struggling the whole time. He knows, he's like, people are going to think I am the worst person in the world, and those people thinking that are going to be my family because we're going to be the only ones left.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of great caretakers of the earth and solid men of faith and renown, that reminds me of Twitter yesterday. It sounds like this quote I saw on a tweet, mm-hmm, from just a prophet of a man and a great human being who said that I may not know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. Uncle Cy, yesterday, Duck Dynasty.
Thank you, Steve-O, for that fantastic and deep Twitter review.
Shout out to Uncle Si on Twitter.
Shout out to Uncle Si. I hope you learn how to read one day. Anyway.
Did I just dismantle that whole thing?
No, no.
Okay,
it's good. Cool. So that's your like, if you are going into Noah, if you are going to read this book, or if you're going to go into the movie expecting, this is going to be Christian, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be. But that gives you the responsibility. That gives you the task and the opportunity. You should look at it like that. To be able to say, hey, this was different. I don't know about that. But the characterization of God in this thing is really cool.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is an opportunity for us to go, hey, man, here's what they got right, and here's what you should check into in the Bible. Because same with Son of God. Mm-hmm. It backlash. Either you loved it or you hated it because it wasn't word for word. We're talking about a movie that was made by Christians.
Yeah.
They got flack on both sides, whether you loved it or you hated it. So with Noah, if you can go into it with the right attitude, with the right mindset that, you know what, this could spur on conversation, this could spur on a challenge to those that maybe don't believe. I really thoroughly enjoyed the comic. Obviously, as we've been saying, it is a slight departure. However, for a comic book, the art was incredible, the writing was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so looking at it from just that standpoint, I would say, yeah, fantastic read.
And again, there are things that are not in the Bible that happen in this thing.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You've got the knowledge.
Yeah.
Now you just have to figure out how you're going to use it. It's a lot easier to boycott something and post a status on Facebook than it is to actually engage a situation, figure out what the right and wrong in it, and then engage the world with the right answer.
Absolutely. I love Comics Corner.
Yeah, I do too.
We got a lot of comics to get to. We have one sole DC comic this week because Maximilian's not here.
Miss you, Max.
We miss you, Max, from Astro Zombies. Batman and Aquaman. That's right, Batman and Aquaman. Batman has a series called Batman and Robin. Well, Robin's dead. And so it's been kind of an interesting series where it's Batman and this person, Batman and that person. They just wrapped up a story arc that was Batman and Two-Face.
Oh.
Where at the end of the arc, I guess Batman finds out that Ra's al Ghul, what do they call him now?
I've always called him Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Well, they find out that Ra's has stolen Talia and Damian Wayne's bodies. Probably going to try and resurrect him, do something crazy with it.
Yeah.
So this kicks off a new story arc, the hunt for Robin. And Batman's teaming up with Aquaman. I will say this. I was expecting a little more, I guess, from this kickoff arc. But if you're just looking for a fun, fast-paced, go at it. It's a great read. They team up, and at the end of the issue, it's like, boom, all right, next. Next month, teaming up with another member of the Justice League. So it's not like a whole story arc with Aquaman, but I see what they're doing. It's kind of like, tag, you're it. This is as far as I'm going. Now Batman's going to be teaming up next month with another Justice League member. I don't want to ruin it, but if you're looking for just some fun, fast-paced action, and it was a good go punch the bad guys and then keep going because I'm trying to find my son.
Punch!
I will say it was good, and it's one of the cheaper books. So,
so there is a reference to Damian and all that stuff in it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's made known pretty immediately that, yes, that is the case.
Okay.
And there are the bodies, and we need to get them because that's a very big deal. So it's going to be huge. I don't know what DC's trying to do with it, but I do know that, yes, Ra's is absolutely prevalent in this issue. And there's some crazy stuff going on.
Crazy, baby.
Yep.
I want to talk about some Marvel books.
Yeah.
Let's take it to the streets. And what I mean by that is Daredevil number one.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Week in and week out, we talk about books that you can just jump onto if you're new to comic books, but you're interested. And, tell us about Daredevil number one.
Okay, Daredevil has traditionally been located, like the setting of the book.
Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, New York, which is an actual neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in New York and I saw a sign for Hell's Kitchen, I was like, that's where Daredevil lives! Very excited. And all the House Heroes guys were like, shut up, Matt.
Yeah.
I was like,
except
no!
For Nuke.
Yeah, except for Nuke. And then Colin was keeping it cool. He's like, I know. And then Tim's like, wait, what do you mean?
Amazing.
Anyway, Daredevil has moved across the country. He is now in San Francisco. And he's in California. That's funny because there's one scene where he's like, I wish that the city, the people that made the city would have put the buildings closer together.
Right.
Because he's out there and it's more spread out.
And as a blind dude.
Yeah, he's blind. This is Matt Murdock. He's a blind lawyer. His powers are like every other sense is enhanced because when he was a kid, he saved. Who was it that he saved?
It's just a guy crossing the road and there was a truck with like toxic waste and he, you know, jumped in the way to save this old dude's life, but the accident spilled in his eyes and
blinded him.
And yeah, what I loved was they did everything. So if you've never read Daredevil, it doesn't matter. You get his origin story, everything in this one issue, and yet it keeps up with where he's at today.
This is like a movie.
It was great. Yeah, it really was. I really enjoyed that as well, the idea that they really cover in like one page.
Yeah, it's like
his origin and his status about it, because you know you're trying to help someone and in turn you're blinded by toxic waste trying to do something good, and you know some people could in essence go, man, I was doing good, screw that, I guess I'm not going to do good anymore because look what it cost me, look what it got me, basically. But in turn, he learned to live with it and became Daredevil, the man without fear.
Blinded by the waste, but it's cool because I'm Daredevil and I'm up in your face. Boom, punch. You need to read this book. It's a good book. He's a lawyer and he's a detective. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Moon Knight and how much I like that because that guy is a detective. But he's on the opposite end of the spectrum because he is schizophrenic and crazy.
Yeah.
He has four different people living in his head. But he's like a cool, dextery kind of detective. And then in this book, you have Matt Murdock, who's a lawyer,
right?
But his senses are so keen, he can be like, did you pick up on this? Did you pick up on this? Did you pick up on this? Boom! And then he's after the criminals.
I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of, and I'm not trying to dumb it down.
Don't dumb it down.
Remember the Daredevil film that everybody hated, Ben Affleck? The special edition or the director's cut had like 30 minutes of extra footage, and a lot of it was like courtroom drama.
Which I still haven't seen.
Yeah, do you need to?
I know.
Because it changed the movie for me. I thought it was a better film when I saw the director's cut because this comic does a really good job of going from action to kind of a courtroom scene slash crime scene. And so if you're into like L.A. Law with superheroes, you know what I mean? It kind of had a really good balance between
L.A. Law and superheroes.
I loved it.
That's
it
what you're
going to
get when you read. So if you're into the like crime courtroom drama on TV, Law & Order, not so much Law & Order
with
SVU, but maybe
spandex.
A little bit. Yeah. Check out Daredevil. It's compelling. The writer, Mark Waid, fantastic. I wish he would move over to Spider-Man
because
he would kill it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Spider-Man, today, Spider-Man Annual number 2 came out, Superior Spider-Man number Annual. Now, what an annual is once a year they release a book called an annual. Once a year. You get it. And it's a separate story. The funny thing about annuals is, back when I got comic books when I was a teenager, I never read the annual.
Never.
Because the annual is always this random story.
And it was like three times the cover price of the normal issue.
It's usually more than one story. And it's random. It's apart from the actual storyline that's going on. That's typically the thing with annuals. But every once in a while, they'll be like, wait a second, why don't we use this extra book to tell another side of the story that we're currently telling? And that is what happens in Superior Spider-Man. You have Ben Urich, who is a longtime character in the Spider-Man universe. He works for the Daily Bugle. He's a reporter. His thing is he's going to get down to the truth. Now, his nephew, Phil, is part of the Goblin Nation. He's like one of Norman Osborn's right-hand men.
Yeah.
He has been transformed into an evil kid. And so we see the uncle trying to save his nephew. And then how that progresses. And this all takes place within what is happening in Superior. In fact, the second story in the annual, in Superior number 29, which came out last week, there was a scene where one character was struggling with a robot, and then we follow Spider-Man. Well, this is like we've gone back to that scene.
I like that.
And instead of seeing Spider-Man, we follow what's happening with these other two
characters.
Camera
turns left this
time. Yeah, and we pick up right there. And it directly, there's another character that's been like, oh no, what's going on with her? What's going on with her? And we find out what happens with her in both of these stories.
That's cool.
So it's her thing.
It's
I
pertinent.
Loved it. I was so happy that I read an annual and it made sense and it worked with the story. And it was like, pick up next week in Superior Spider-Man number 30.
Ugh.
So that Superior Spider-Man Annual, I was really happy with it.
Speaking of Spider-Man, if there's one comic book that I feel like would most represent Team Awesome Morning Party...
Oh, great.
It's probably the Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man is not your average comic book because it follows along with five supervillains who consider themselves the Sinister Six.
They consider themselves supervillains, and they're not at all.
They consider themselves supervillains, A. B, they call themselves the Sinister Six, and yes, there's only five of them.
There's only five of them.
So there's that comic relief in it immediately, and it's basically these B characters who really badly want to be bad guys, but they suck at everything.
They're terrible. They can't get their act together.
Yeah.
This was a series that I was picking up, and then I kind of quit enjoying it. But
oh,
Steve-O,
man, I thoroughly... It's one of my favorite books.
He has attached himself to it.
It's because it's nonsense. It is not your punch-in-the-face average comic book. It truly follows these characters. In fact, this entire issue, Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 10, which releases today, follows the all-new Beetle, Speed Demon... And Whiplash. No. What's his name? Whirlwind. I don't even know what his name is now.
Yeah,
that's great. And the entire time they're sitting in a pub trying to outdo each other. So it's the same writer, but about six different artists throughout the entirety because the very beginning basically is who are the superior foes? Overdrive. That's his name. Overdrive.
Gosh,
is his name. Totally screwed that up. So they're the Sinister Six, but there's five of them. And essentially, it's three of them hanging out in a bar wanting to get to know each other and telling their stories of renown about how they've bested some of the greatest superheroes, which inevitably we learn is all of the stories are pretty fantastical and probably lies.
Pretty made
just
up.
Trying to basically...
just one-up each
other. One-up each other and seem like they're cooler than they really are because they're kind of losers who can't even keep a job and are terrible at villainy, but they're trying so hard to be bad guys. So I really enjoy it. There's really no depth or anything to it.
That's great. That's great.
So, yeah.
But if you want to get back into deeper things, if you want some depth, let's talk about Avengers, specifically New Avengers, which you're going to pull out your quantum physics degree, friends, because you're going to need it.
I'll tell you what, Hickman, he is the writer of New Avengers. He's writing a few different books, and it's amazing to see the different directions he can go, because with New Avengers, issue 15, which releases today, it's really one of those books that reminded me of Mere Christianity meets maybe The Four Loves.
It's one of those you have to go back, and not theological. What the example he's making is you have to go back and reread things like, what? And this is a confusing book right now.
Yes.
And part of the reason that it is confusing is because within this book, we have been introduced to, I think if I've counted correctly, it's either three or four parallel universes, three or four different versions of this team.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how to stop their worlds from ending. That's what happened within Infinity.
Yeah.
And then Inhumanity started. But we have here... in the New Avengers, the team is called the Illuminati, and it's Mr. Fantastic, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Beast, Namor and
Iron Man.
And is there one more? I don't know. But
Black
Bolt, but where is he? And that's why I think this is a parallel universe.
Okay.
Because he's in there.
Yeah, see,
and in
I
the
was
mainline comic universe, so in the confused. In the 616 Marvel, which is the mainstream, that's the usual Marvel comic series, Black Bolt has disappeared.
Yeah.
But in this comic, he's back. And Tony Stark is drastically different in this. This is a parallel universe.
See, and it was weird because I thought it was our universe because Doctor Strange in issue 14 basically gave up himself and he's missing and they can't find him and he's on another plane. Remember, they
right.
said they can't find him. So it's like, so is it ours?
And the
is
same thing's happening here. But if you notice, too, in the 616, guys, if you're confused, I'm sorry, but that's
so
the nature.
Are we.
That's the nature of this book. So you're right. We're right there with you.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure it out as we read it. I think that's
like,
the point of it.
Yeah. And for me, I feel like this is a series that you could probably wait for the graphic novel so
yes.
that you can understand the storyline coherently. Because he usually writes these big story arcs for these grand epic scale things, mm-hmm. and issue to issue you're just getting a part of it. So you're it's like man. Yeah, it's really it's like trying to watch Lost week to week.
Yeah.
You had to wait a week and then you lost a whole lot of it because,
or the better seasons of Fringe.
There you go. That's really it.
I loved Fringe.
Yeah.
Love that show. But sometimes episode to episode you'd be like, especially in the last season or the season before last, when all of a sudden we realized, wait, we're in a third universe right now. What? That's kind of what's going on in New Avengers.
Yeah.
And I believe, if I'm right, the epilogue takes place in the mainstream Marvel
Got
universe.
Me.
I think that's what's going on. And you have a different team of Illuminati that have kind of figured out what the team in the mainstream Marvel universe have figured out, except these guys in this alternate universe have figured out a little something else.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find a character from their universe who I think might have ended up in the regular. It's very confusing.
I want to punch myself in the face.
If you like quantum physics, if you like parallel multiverse types stuff, if you're into all that.
If you work at the labs, this will float your boat.
You'll really like New Avengers, and you'll probably understand. You'll probably call us tomorrow saying, guys, that's not what happened.
Let me explain what's going on. Yes, please do if you have a degree in that. We would love to understand what Jonathan Hickman is trying to do in New Avengers. However, on the flip side, Avengers World, also written by Hickman, issue 4 comes out today, and I got to tell you, hands down, my pick of the week. I thought it was the best book. There's a new character into the Avengers world. Avengers world basically is this. There's like 50 Avengers at this point.
50.
They're spread out all over the world. And so there's been a lot of great new characters introduced into the Marvel Universe. And this one is really a, hey, obviously with so many Avengers, we're not going to be able to have every Avenger in every issue. And so this one kind of focuses on different characters in different issues. This one happened to focus on a core group of about 4 Avengers, but really focused on this new character named Starbrand. Starbrand came about during the second volume of the last Avengers run, and he's a teenager. He was in high school, and he was chosen by this intergalactic blah, 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 blah. Basically, he gets these powers that overcome him so much so that he blows up his entire school and kills everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero. And it's not your average everyday origin story.
And it became known as the White Event.
Yeah, and what I loved about this issue is you have this guy who's trying to be a superhero, but his creation, his origin, was the death of a bunch of people. And how do you push forward to try and do good with the weight of your sin, if you will?
All that blood on your
all
hands.
All of that blood on your hands. When your mutant power, if you will, kicked in, a lot of people died, and now you're wanting to use it for good, but at the same time, this power is so strong that you killed people, mm-hmm. and basically all those souls are on his conscience right now. And the weight of it is so much that it's like, how do I become a superhero when all of this bad has happened, and will this good ever outweigh the bad? And it was really like this deep...
Yeah.
It took me to Romans 8, this reminder of like, man... Wretched man that I am, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. My spirit and my flesh are at war with each other, and I just keep thinking about all of the bad that has happened in my life. How do I overcome the bad so that I can focus on doing good? And Starbrand's one of my favorite new characters.
It's a cool picture because not only did he do this horrible thing, but Starbrand essentially saved our universe in Infinity. He did a great thing. He helped blow up like the main enemy stuff. They were coming after us, and Starbrand's power is so much, so powerful, that he wiped out all these bad guys, but he can't get past the fact.
He saved billions of people, but he killed like 70, and the 70 that he killed are what is weighing on him, not the fact that he has saved billions of people.
And how often does that happen in our lives where we have these wonderful stories, these huge blessings where God has moved in our life, and the only thing we focus on is our mistakes.
Yeah.
These little screw-ups that we have along the way that we can't quite get away from, they just, you know, they eat away at us.
It can petrify you, and that's kind of what we're seeing with this story arc right now, is Starbrand, who needs to be the hero in this moment where they're at, and it's kind of taking over him and kind of just stopping him in his tracks, which is
pretty cool.
A great commentary.
Great commentary. Not to mention it had one of your other favorite characters from that got reintroduced.
Yeah.
I believe Starbrand and this other character were all originally in an 80s series called The New Universe.
Yeah.
And they kind of disappeared because that series didn't really take off, that little alternate universe, in the 80s, because in the 80s we didn't believe in all that crap.
Yeah.
But anyway, now these characters are coming back, and Hickman's doing a great job of resurrecting these B characters and fleshing them out and bringing them to the forefront. And Avengers World is a great place to see that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see Hickman. He had a series called Secret Warriors that, was so fantastic.
Yeah, I'm reading that right
now. Followed
along
Nick Fury and some other things, and he's reintroducing characters from past comics he created, and it's just a lot of fun.
That's cool. It's neat to be able to read comic books and be able to, like, actually relate them to your real life struggle.
Right.
That's a fun thing. My pick of the week, Daredevil.
Nice.
It was just a fun book.
Yeah.
It's solving mysteries.
Yeah.
Thought it was great.
Some good books this week, definitely. And Marvel's doing a really good job with Marvel Now of reintroducing characters or restarting books where anybody can jump on. So,
yeah.
Big fan of what's going on in comics right now.
Also, big fan of what's going on in the movies. If you watched the Marvel special last night, I don't know if you were watching The Voice, weirdo, but what you should have been watching was Marvel's Assembling a Universe special where we got to see a little bit of Ant-Man. It was the test footage had done for the movie. They showed it at Comic-Con. And we got to see concept art from the new Avengers, and there was one picture of the Incredible Hulk fighting the Hulkbuster Iron Man armor, and everybody in the room went, "Oh,
Hulkbuster!"
Yeah,
you even saw it—not just concept art, but that girl was working the animatronic Iron Man arm. The Hulkbuster essentially. Imagine an Iron Man the size of Hulk, because Tony Stark has to confront the Hulk because he loses his mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
And our boy Nick on Facebook posted a picture of that giant Iron Man arm. Said, "Did you guys see this? Oh, we saw
it. We saw.
We rewound it.
We're excited.
We paused it." Also, today, the final Amazing Spider-Man trailer released. It's got some new footage of it, of the action scenes. I know that you are not.
This is where we differ greatly.
Yeah.
You watch all the trailers.
I'll watch it, but see, it makes me more excited. And then I can go in and be like, yeah. I don't feel like it ruined it for me.
And I want to be blown away on the big screen. I want to see these things happen on the big screen. So if you feel like you've seen enough of Spider-Man, don't watch this trailer.
But if you want to see a little bit more, like maybe you need a little bit more convincing that this movie isn't going to be a waste of your time. This new trailer, it's the action that I loved the Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that made me think, the Raimi trilogy was
terrible.
Off in a lot of ways. Not terrible. Spider-Man 2
was great.
Spider-Man 2
One and 3
was a great
was
movie.
Bad. They were both really bad.
But you really saw where some of the characterization of Spider-Man was missing because of the Amazing Spider-Man. But what was missing in the Amazing Spider-Man was that action. We needed more action. I understand you got to fight the lizard, but in the hallway at school is not necessarily the where you think all this is going to go down. But in this new movie, it's like they said, "Okay, we did the origin.
Yeah,
now let's move on."
Gosh.
And the cool thing about this next movie is Peter Parker loves being Spider-Man. He loves it. He owns it. And we're gonna see how that plays into. Well, you'll just see
Don't ruin it!
Watch the trailer if you want to.
We are less than 2 months away from that movie's release.
Oh, and we're only 1 month away. Less than a month.
Couple weeks away.
Captain America.
Yeah. Saw some footage of that last night for Assembling a Universe, the Marvel.
So stoked.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. It is a good time to be a comic fan.
It is.
If you're not a comic fan yet, I'm sure you will be here soon because there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's a new X-Men trailer coming out soon.
Gosh. So much! New Arrow tonight, Suicide Squad.
New Arrow
really
tonight.
Looking forward to that.
And we read some rumors about Batman Superman, about the characterization of Batman, and if those prove to be true, it's going to be a fantastic look at the character that we haven't seen in the movies before.
I'm interested to see how Nolan fans react to the
to
the rumor that it will be tied into the Dark Knight trilogy.
Maybe it's not going to be so cut off. What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? We're not going to tell you, because it's just a rumor.
Well, there it goes. That's it for Team Awesome Morning Party. Sort of. On the way next, Shock Therapy Live and Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio with us, hanging out. Asking the big questions. Actually, answering the big questions.
Answering them.
Yeah. If you have a question, you can submit it. studio@mystaticradio.com. That is our email address. Shock Therapy Live rolls your way next. If you miss any part of this here show, you can podcast us. It's pretty great. mystaticradio.com/mornings to check it all out there. What a fun show so far.
I thought today was good. I miss Max.
Yeah, I miss
Max. But it's cool because we have his Noah hardcover to hold for
ransom.
That's
right, and we're going to keep it.
Till we see him again.
Yeah, we're going to keep it.
Yeah, because you're going to read it.
I really want to
You're
going to
read it.
Yeah, I just didn't think I'd have time.
You're going to read it.
John Carter.
You got plenty of time.
Meets the Bible.
Now. There you go.
It's going to be
What else do you need?
Up next, Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, Mateo, and I will be hanging out with you. Get your questions in now. Intern Doug, taking your phone calls. Phone lines are already open. You can hang out with us as we prepare for the kickoff of the show at 9 a.m. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Or studio at mystaticradio.com to keep it anonymous. We'll see you guys in like 7 minutes.
All right.
All right. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.